This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got 5 on it. Number 1.
Who was the MVP of the Cubs series win over the Orioles?
I don't think it was Willie Castro, but I want to say it was Willie Castro because he's new and it's fun.
I thought for sure you were going to say Willie Castro.
Wait, you guys were like that intense about it?
I was. I'm talking about your intensity about Willie Castro. She's definitely going to say Willie Castro.
You had a Willie Castro skip in your step today when you came in.
I just love it when you make a sneaky decision and it's like, glad I called that guy, like Billy Madison and Steve Buscemi, you know? That's what you want. You want the glad I called that guy. And I feel like that's what he was. Especially when he hit a triple, too.
Oh, sick.
That's when I'm into it.
Saturday like, triple.
I need some more power out of the Cubs bats in general. I think that that has been well established. All right, fine. Willie Castro is my MVP this weekend.
Yes!
Welcome to Chicago,
Game
Willie. In 10
week.
Years, they
Game
will say you
week.
Never lived here.
So mine's a little less traditional, I guess, is what I'm going to say.
I'm glad you got that.
I just did. Sorry. I was too busy chanting Bears Week.
I can't
sorry.
Wait for your first Bears Monday, Willie Castro.
He's going to have a good time.
Bear.
So as far as MVP for this series, this is going to sound not... It's not going to make sense, but I'm going to make it make sense, or at least try.
I like where you're going, kid.
My MVP for this series... I hate what you just said that.
Potster.
My MVP for this series... It's Matthew Boyd.
Okay.
It's Matthew Boyd.
Okay.
They didn't win the game. I understand. But you know what? They can win this war because of what Matthew Boyd showed me against the Orioles. If that really was just a blip, the giving up 5 runs and a start, and he's back to the dude I saw pitch over the weekend, the Cubs have a fighting chance to win this division. And not just win the division, but to have a top 2 record and to skip the first round of the playoffs.
It was really nice to cheer on him in the crowd on Saturday. I was like, thank you for everything you've done.
I also have a question in relation to Matthew Boyd. Now, I think this was a Mark Grody Award designated for the White Sox specifically. But, Mr. Grody, does Matthew Boyd qualify as a contender for the That Guy Deserved Better Award?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yes. So let me look. 7 innings, no runs, 8 strikeouts, 0 walks, and the Cubs lost the game in which he started. He deserved better, Ray. He deserved better.
Ding, 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 ding. It's the Mark Grody Jose Quintana Memorial He Deserved Better Award.
I do 2 things.
Even though
in
Jose
life.
Quintana is very much alive and pitching for the Brewers.
I give out Bears, and I tell you if you deserve better. That's what I do in life. That's my life.
The best part of the game for me with the Matthew Boyd, remember, he walked 5 guys, including the first 2 batters, his last time out.
Last time, not yesterday.
But yesterday,
0.
0 walks.
8 strikeouts.
15 strikes swinging. That is a season high.
Wow.
I may have yelled I love you at one point after one of the strikeouts.
Were you drinking the Mai Tais? Were you drinking the Mai Tais or something, Layla?
No.
You sound very sentimental out there.
I was like, I love it!
It was a sentimental day.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. It's not a serious I love you. It's a like, I love what you're bringing to the show.
Okay.
Or in this case, I love what you brought to the game.
Can I go outside the box a little bit for mine?
Yeah, of course you can. You saw what I just did. I went in a game that they didn't even win.
I'm inspired by you. So I'm going to just say it. My MVP... Look, I know who the hero of the day yesterday was. It was Justin Damn Turner, first pitch hunting. But low-key, guys, we cannot, because we've ripped on Dansby Swanson so many times for not coming through with runners in scoring position. Not only did he come through with an RBI with a runner in scoring position yesterday, it was with 2 outs.
Ooh,
it was with 2 outs.
Texas leaguer for
little Texas leaguer. That's exactly what Pat Hughes called it. I was listening on the radio at that time. Little Texas leaguer there for from our guy, Dansby Swanson.
Bloop.
And, a little bloop. And so I was like, Good for Dansby.
Do you know what those do? They're hits.
They're hits?
Yep, I'll take them.
Well, I think Pat even said something to the effect of, you know, doesn't really matter. That felt like a 107-mile-per-hour shot off his bat just because of his struggles with two outs. So I'm going to go Dansby with a little honorable mention to Cade Horton just because he was really good on Friday in an important game.
Dansby. Also, can somebody get Pat Hughes a backpack?
Oh, yeah.
How about Pat Hughes saying he's never owned a backpack? That's all I use.
And he kept asking Zach how it's used. Now, how do I use this Zach pack? And Zach was like, well, you unzipper it, you put stuff in it, and then you zip it back up, and then you put it on your back, and then you walk off.
And did I also hear that Coombe has never owned a backpack or is not a current backpack owner? There was a lot to unpack there.
By the way, for the record, Pat has a briefcase, so he does have a carrying case.
Did he have the briefcase in grade school? These are my questions.
Like the briefcase that our dads might have used, you know, like the hardcover,
or maybe the leather bound with like the brown plastic handle.
Yeah, maybe it was just
the
my
lock
dad.
On it too. The combination.
Yes, the combo lock.
I thought the briefcase had been replaced by the man satchel. You know, the
I've been considering. Body. I've been considering a man satchel. Do you think I could pull it off?
Yeah, although you know, then you feel lopsided because you're carrying something heavy and it's not the backpack evenly distributed. It's the weight.
I'm an advocate of the man satchel.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to get. I'm just trying to get
one right
oh,
here.
There it is.
I'm okay with that. I don't feel off center.
I'm in the process of trying to consolidate like wallet, phone, keys, apartment. You know what I mean?
If that's
like,
all you got, we need you a fanny pack.
Well, I have a lot of stuff. I have a lot of baggage, and I carry it in my backpack.
Oh, nice backpack. Yeah, I have a backpack now. Yeah.
Number two.
The Cubs get a three-game set tonight against the Reds. Bears. Right-hander Michael Soroka, with 3-8 record and a 4.87 ERA, will make his first start as a Cub since joining the team ahead of the trade deadline from the Washington Nationals. What do the Cubs need out of Soroka tonight in his debut?
Well, number one, I'm not even as concerned about the Cubs with Soroka as I am the Cubs versus Lodolo. Mm. Like, that hasn't gone well for them. Again, crafty, good lefty. I don't even know if he's crafty. He's just good at his job. So when I consider that piece of it, what you want to see out of Soroka, especially when you know that the Cubs have used, I think, more bullpen than they would like to have used over the weekend, I guess a quality start is probably the benchmark. That's what you would love to see out of a trade acquisition who's expected to start.
I would like him to go more than the 3 1/3 he went the last time out in his last start.
maybe things were going on. Maybe it was a little uneasy. You don't know where you're headed.
Are we headed for a John Birdie game? Is that what you're saying?
Well, not again.
Not again.
How many regular appearances is John
he's
Birdie
got a,
getting?
He's going to
qualify.
Log.
He's going to end up qualifying for stats at this rate.
The guy's got a log.
To your point, log. 16 starts he's made. You want a quality start. He's only been six innings four times in those 16 games. I just want to start it's with
25%
that.
25% of the time.
25% of the time. Now, the good news is, in those four starts in which he went six innings, he gave up three runs or less.
Well, that so, qualifies.
So, 25. You got a 25% chance based on the history. I would like to see how a new team and a new energy, no longer being on the Nationals, kind of qualifies him. Because he could have been in that bloodbath over the weekend against the Brewers. He was not. So, now you've got a team that technically could score some runs for you.
That was a bloodbath. That is a very good word for that.
Yeah. I mean, give me like a Colin Ray game. You know what I mean? Give me five innings. What did Colin Ray yesterday? 4 2/3. I guess I would take that. My expectations aren't too high. Do you guys know that Mike Soroka is only 28 years old?
No.
He's 28.
He felt more veteran to me.
As with everything with Soroka, even when they got him, God, that would have been awesome in 2019 when he was an all-star, or 2020 when he was an opening day starter. This is a former first-round pick, so I always think back to those Atlanta days. I'm like, God, if they could have that guy, that would be way more interesting than this guy who, yeah, five innings is about what I would expect out of Mike Soroka tonight. And I also don't like, it's weird. I know, I understand. This is, the Cubs are doing what they have to do with their starting staff. But in the heat of a pennant race in August, I just don't like the idea that we're talking about this with what do you expect? We're talking about a guy who none of us is necessarily expecting to go more than five innings
well,
today.
Well, here's the issue, though. They traded for him, and they have an expectation. And while the Cubs' offense isn't firing on all cylinders, which we very much know, when you consider the bloodbath scores that Marshall talked about with the Brewers and Nats, 16-9 on Friday, 8-2 on Saturday, 14-3 yesterday.
Wow.
They're not doing that. The Cubs aren't doing it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
No matter how long he goes, whether it's 4 innings or 5 innings or 6 innings, if he can just give up 3 runs or less, I'm satisfied with Mike Soroka. Because you're in the game. Same.
Satisfied with Soroka.
I just hate that that's where we are. We're talking about that would be satisfying in the middle of a pennant race. It just doesn't feel right.
It's cognitive dissonance, yes.
Yes, Bears.
Number three.
No player in Major League Baseball has more than Cosa Montgomery, 7 home runs, 1 homer behind Philly slugger Kyle Schwarber, and 21 RBI since the All-Star break. Is he the best player in the city of Chicago right now?
Okay. Wait, I thought we were just going best shortstop discussion, which we've done many a time.
No, he doesn't even play shortstop
here
every
in,
day.
Here in Ye City of Chicago, how many times was it Javi Baez versus Tim Anderson?
Oh, yeah.
Both, like, 2016-ish at the beginning of the season. Remember when that was the hot discussion?
It was a great discussion.
But you're going best player in city of Chicago?
Good luck question. With this one, Layla. Yeah, lead us off, kid.
Yeah, I'm very happy with what he's doing, and I'm very happy he's here, especially after, of course, as we've mentioned, the insane path that it took, relatively speaking, for him to get here. Arizona League was not in my bingo card. But is he the best player in the city of Chicago? No. No.
Is he the best player on the White Sox?
Probably.
He's the hottest player in the city of Chicago.
It should
right
be
now.
Luis Robert, but it's not. But they're going to pay him like he's going to be apparently next year. But you can't ignore what he's doing. He made adjustments. He then not only made adjustments, but continued to keep making them. The better question is this going to be a Miguel Vargas-like flash this season, or is it going to be sustainable? And I think the torpedo bat has helped him. Mm. Like, that is something where I feel like it was a flash in the pan, relatively speaking, in a lot of games early in the season. But he's making it work for him. Stay with it. Keep doing what you're doing and make it consistent. And then we have a real discussion.
Well, hey, man, consider... Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'll go real quick. It was just on my mind, considering the fact that there were moments when I heard... David Haw on his solo show today. We've got 3 people on our show.
Why?
I feel so guilty. I feel so guilty that we have a 3-person show and David's out here doing yeoman's work.
He reminded me, or they did, I think Dustin was in on the conversation, that there was a moment where there was thoughts that Loveland, that Colson was never even going to come, never going to make it to the White Sox, that he may have been out of the organization. Now here he is hitting hot, and it just shows you what patience can do. So he's the hottest player right now, but of course he's not the best player in Chicago.
You know, the other thing is too is that Nick Kurtz, the rookie for the A's, just got player of the month for the American League, and even Nick Kurtz has fewer second half home runs than Colson Montgomery.
Like I said, only Schwarber is the only one who's out homered him since the All-Star break. I'll say this, the man did not hit a home run in his first 14 major league games. He has homered in 7 of his last 11 games. Grody's right. He absolutely is the hottest player in Chicago. Although cases could be made for Aaron Civale and also Cade Horton, who have yet to give up an earned run since the All-Star break.
But nothing says pennant race like Colson Montgomery, Aaron Civale, and Cade Horton.
Hey, I'm just telling you where the guys are.
You're right. I'm not. You're right.
I think we've all just about had it with your Aaron Civale talk.
No,
I mentioned him one time.
Hey, did he do the job? Did he go out and do the job
Absolutely.
He was asked to do? That's all he can do.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm glad we got a White Sox fan in here. Really, it keeps us honest.
No,
man.
No, but seriously.
Keeps me honest.
Colson Montgomery, is he the best player for the White Sox right now? Absolutely.
Hondo.
Is he the best player in Chicago right now? I say yes, right now,
yes.
In this moment.
Yes,
7 home
that.
Runs in his last 11 games. I'm saying it.
I think
what
the
about
question
Giddy?
Was,
where do you put Giddy in no, this?
Don't do
Finally,
see,
we're asking
why?
Some good questions around here.
Why?
About time.
We need to strive to mention Josh Giddey in two more times in this show.
We have a quota to hit. Yeah, we've got to hit the quota.
When did Luka
what if
Doncic...
he's not here next year? Does our show just implode?
I think that's when I'm gone. I follow him. That's in my contract.
I thought you were following Danny.
Oh shoot!
I mean.
It was so cute watching Danny talk to Robbie, a.k.a. Danny.
Oh, because they're twinsies,
it's
like, right?
It's my dad.
Danny, yeah. Mini Danny.
He's like your radio dad.
Nitty, yeah.
Danny, Robbie. They rhyme.
Danny is not old enough to be your dad.
You don't know that.
I do. Danny, actually, I know both of you two's ages.
Danny acts like
we know at 14
older,
Danny
though.
Wasn't, you know, doing those activities to...
Teenage Danny.
Number four.
I don't know. This high school football team is not good enough.
Go on.
No.
The Braves beat the Reds in the MLB Speedway Classic at Bristol Motor Speedway and set an MLB record with 91,000 in attendance. Is there a non-traditional place you would like to see a sporting event held?
Yes, I would like for that to be with plentiful amounts of food and shelter. What happened, man? This isn't the way.
What happened was that's a NASCAR venue where you are allowed to bring in food and beverage. Guess what? Major League Baseball said you are not allowed to bring in food and beverage, and so therefore they were not staffed to what needed to happen to feed and give enough beverages to 91,000 plus.
What's the first question I ask both Crane Kenny and Brooks Boyer at the beginning of every baseball season? What can we bring into the ballpark? And as somebody who carries a bag, and I'm a girl, and we have stuff that we don't want people to see necessarily because you shouldn't always have to deal with it. The point being, you want to know what you can bring in and what you can't, and what the logistics are. If the Firefest documentary taught me anything, you've got to be able to feed people, especially when you're making them wait. This was a bad combination. So whatever it has to be next, it's got to be something that can actually handle the infrastructure.
I want to see an NBA game on the top of a skyscraper on one of those rooftop courts. That's what I want to see. I think that'd be fun.
I like it.
The spatial orientation would be
and outdoors,
difficult.
So, you know, like kind of a cage setting.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to see some physicality because the shooting's going to be a little bit off.
Sold. I like it.
Oh, that would be scary.
I guess. How about a Cubs-Sox game at Grant Park?
Ooh.
How about that?
I could sign up for that.
Could that be logistically possible?
Mid-Lollapalooza?
Would buildings be in trouble?
I know a guy who we could ask. He's coming up with one. The mayor.
Oh! Brando, what do you think?
Put in the chamber.
I think he likes a good sports hypothetical.
I think he would like that. Grant Park is a nice place that just held down Lollapalooza over the last 4 days. So, yeah, I want more sporting events other than softball leagues. That was the best place ever to play softball, by the way, in Grant Park, with the buildings abound. So, yes, I would like to see Cubs Sox at Grant Park.
I guess if I had to think of one venue, you know, I thought the basketball game in the aircraft carrier was really cool.
Yes.
But unfortunately, the wind got to it. That was the buzzkill.
Wind's going to do that on the skyscraper, too.
We know the wind here.
Number five.
Last question, 2 minute drill here on Five on It. Which bear has gotten your attention through the first 2.5 weeks of training camp?
I hate to say it, but the way that everybody's talking about Kyle Monongo has gotten to me.
Mm.
He's doing all the things that the coaches want him to do, and the players are also echoing the same ideas. So when you consider that part of it, I understand why they're happy about him. Coachable players they get a leg up in the league.
That is usually how that goes. For me, it's Ozzie Trapillo, because have you seen Ozzie Trapillo compared to everybody else? He's that large. I just can't take my eyes off of him when I'm watching the offensive line do anything. I'm like, that dude's so big. When he pops up out of his stance, when they're in the huddle, whatever. That dude is huge.
I saw Colston Loveland at full speed for the first time yesterday at Soldier Field. And he moves differently. He looks different than other guys on the field. And I even asked it, like, after the practice, I said that exactly to TJ Edwards. I said, does he look different? And TJ Edwards was like, yeah. Even though Tremaine Edmonds covered him really well, by the way, on a couple of plays. But He's the guy that was they were lining him up on all sorts of different, like you were seeing it. Like Ben Johnson used a lot of motion at Soldier Field yesterday, yes. And Colston in motion, popping around into the slot. I almost loved just watching Colston run his routes and the way they were using him. And that ain't half of probably what Ben Johnson would like to do once he's a supposedly a finished product or ready to go full force. So it is Colston Loveland.
Bears. A lot of Bears. So Bears. Coming up next, it is time for us to get back to some baseball talk because there are some numbers, and we mentioned it, the offensive struggles for the Cubs. Not only is it affecting one individual, it might have been doing so for a pretty long time. We'll take you back in time to June for a pattern that continues to this day. That's next on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.